Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. With His help, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I don't say that lightly. When the Lord helps us out, He knows everything. He's trying to help us do our part. Now, He can't do your part for you, but He can work through you. He can give you wisdom and guidance and strength and might. And He can cause you. See, the anointing came to help us do His perfect will. He can use imperfect men to do His perfect will. Now, the enemy on the other side is trying to stop us. And he always uses tactics to do it. And the Lord will help us fight it. See, when Adam sinned, Adam had authority on the earth, but he gave his authority to Satan. And Satan, you know, he was much more advanced in knowledge than Adam was. Adam was just made a few years or within 130 years, but when he sinned, he was, you know, he just came on the scene, but he was fighting. His enemy was thousands of years old. I don't know how old Satan is and how long it was before he sinned and his kingdom was judged. But yesterday the Lord put on my heart to share some of his tactics. And it's called battlefronts. We're fighting an enemy. And in order for us to win, we have to do it God's way. We have to fight like God. Now, we can't fight Satan the same way we fight natural wars, even though natural warfare and spiritual warfare have their similarities. We can die physically. Satan can't. You can see us where we are, but we can't see Satan. See, David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord my God is with me." And that's the situation that we're in. Now, in order for there to be a shadow in the valley, there has to be a light cast. And this situation means that the enemy can see you, but you can't see your enemy. He's got the high ground. He's hiding. He can see you, but you can't see him. But so only through the Lord can we win. We can't see our enemy. He can see us. But when the Lord is with us, we can win. We have to pay attention to the Lord. And we have to, the only way for us to win and do God's will, the only way, you know, we have to trust the Lord. We have to stick to what He says. Jesus gave us this example in Matthew chapter 4 when He was tempted in the wilderness. Satan tried to get Him to deviate from God's plan, and Jesus stuck with God's plan through the word. He spoke the word. He stuck with what God said. Even and you know, being in a body, He couldn't see His enemy. He could sense him. He knew he was there. But the Father was with him. Now, it's on us. It's down to us. So we're trying to fight something that's out there and it's dangerous. But with the Lord's help, we're dangerous. Now, the battlefronts are these. This is where you're going to conquer. The world system is comprised of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are your three battlefronts. This is the source of the battlefronts. This is where you're going to win. This is how you're going to stand. You're not going to give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. Now, the Word of God, if we fill our heart with the Word of God, it won't be a problem, because our heart will be full of love and full of life. And everything we do will come to life, just like the Word of God inside us. See, the Word inside our heart becomes faith. This is what Satan's trying to destroy. All of his attacks is trying to stop men from growing in the Lord and having the love of God filled in their heart with a righteous heart. See, we were made righteous. And because we were made righteous, we're like new wineskins. Now, instead of putting old wine in new wineskins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, we're going to fill our heart with the life of God's word, meditating on the word day and night, and we will be strong and of good courage, just like Joshua, as he put the word of God in his heart day and night, just like the Lord told him to. So we're going to stick with the counsel of the Lord and defeat the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, on the battlefield, once you get past the foundations of the battlefronts, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, now there are systems. And these also are fronts we have to win in. Now, the enemy has studied man. His goal is to try to get man to depart from God. When people are righteous and they're steadfast and unmovable, he can't change the fact that the Lord saved them and made them righteous. He has to distract them so that they're not full of the word of God. That way they'll be ineffective. Just like the parable of the sower. You had stony ground, wayside ground, stony ground, thorny ground, and then good ground. So in order for more people to not be good ground, he has to get the leaders to have a stony ground heart or a wayside heart and not a good heart. And that's not easy, because when people love God, they love God. So he uses distractions so he can get people on his side. Now, some people don't win their fight. Once they lose their fight, or once they're too weak enough, then Satan can use them and start a front with them. So now, men before they meet Jesus, they don't know what to trust. They don't have the life of God in them. Children, spirits are lit, and it's easy for children to become saved. And once their spirit is lit, they're not interested in the world. And if they stay in the love of God and learn and grow, they have a desire for the things of God. So in this country, the enemy, he attacked the knowledge of God in children, because they are the first ones to receive. Their spirit is already lit. If a child gets saved, if a person gets saved as a child, they really don't know what it's like to be under sin. They don't know what it's like to be dominated by it. They don't know what it's like to be disconnected from God. They really don't. Because their spirit is lit, and then they get saved. There was no duration of time where they were not out of the kingdom of God. And I've been there. See, I didn't get saved as a child. I got saved as an adult. I was almost 20 years old. I was weeks away from being 20 years old. I was 19. So when I was between the ages of 12 and 14, somewhere in there, the Lord, I forgot the year it was, but I'll never forget what he said. I started understanding sin. And I believe it was after the eighth grade. And I started understanding what sin was. And I knew I needed to get saved. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're on your own now." Now, if I had died that moment after he said that, I'd have went to hell. I know it. I'd have went right on to hell. Unless the Lord brought me back. But I didn't die. I continued to live. And I was apart from God. And during those years, that was the closest time where I could have been confused. And people tried to get me off track. People tried to, they told me things, and, you know, back in those days, some people were Muslims. And I didn't agree with it, because God loves everybody. And they were calling white people devils, and that's not right. I said, no, God don't do that. I turned them off. I was a sinner. There were people that are Jehovah's Witnesses, and they tried to go around Jesus, and I just sensed that wasn't my dad. It was a preacher. So I had a reference. It didn't sound right. Now, I didn't get saved, and I was a sinner. But I had heard parts of God's word I didn't apply to me. And I know what it's like. I didn't feel, once I got to know the Lord, I know what it's like to be in his house. But while I was out there, I was totally, it felt different. Everything was different. I did a lot of things I wish I didn't. I thought totally different because I was disconnected. I know what it's like to be a sinner. Even though my dad was a preacher, I was not a Christian. I didn't get saved. So I wasn't a Christian. But I had heard parts of his word. And it helped. That's why you have to train your children in the way they should go. They may have a desire to come back to God. I didn't get saved as a child and then deviate. I didn't do that. I didn't get saved at all until I was almost 20, 19 years old. And I know I didn't. Because if I did, I would have had the life of God in me, and I wouldn't have went out there doing crazy things, which I'd rather not talk about, which I'm trying to forget about. So when you do things that's wrong, you have to forgive yourself and go on. Forget about it. It's not important. Sinners don't do right. We needed Jesus to get us saved. But that was a total difference in the way I was then and the way I became after I believed on Jesus. Now, if people don't lose their the first battlefront, then the enemy, if they get involved in the world somewhere, the enemy will use it against them. And then I'm going to give you examples. Now, there are many, I talked about how there are different societies in one world. In other words, the world is comprised of many worlds. Now, I'm not talking about planets. I'm talking about collections of people. Just like birds of a feather flock together. Well, people flock together spiritually, they flock together socially, and they flock together with whatever it is they desire. You know, and sometimes worlds collide. People of different belief systems come to a football game. They have the same, they love the same team. They may be Alabama, Auburn fans. They may love the Steelers. They may love the Patriots, the Bears, the Chicago Bears. They may love all these different teams. And they come to one stadium. But when they leave, they go back to their world. So the enemy has studied men. And he has to keep them in the dark. Now, in his warfare fighting, he doesn't really want to alert people to the spiritual things if they're not bothered by it. If they're not, in their world, some people don't believe in spiritual things. Just like that, even in Jerusalem, there was a sect called the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection and they didn't believe in angels. How dull can you be in Israel? All the times the angels have appeared to people and talked to people and they've heard about it and they don't believe it. So, in that world, the enemy don't do spiritual activity. He just gives them thoughts. There are no apparitions. There's nothing to give them a clue that there really is angels and demons. He's crafted like that. Now, the Pharisees, on the other hand, they believed in angels and the resurrection and demons. They believed in that. They just didn't like it. They didn't like Jesus, so they didn't like when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Sadducees saw it happen, and they didn't want to believe it, and they hated it. And they together sided against Jesus and wanted to find a way to kill Jesus because he raised Lazarus from the dead. And if you read on down, they wanted to kill Lazarus too, so it'll quieten down. That's how the enemy works. Just like those Pharisees and Sadducees and the council, the Sanhedrin council and the priest in that time. They hated Jesus and they hated his miracles because it was notable. just like Satan, their master. So if people are not, don't believe in spiritual things, he don't want to alert them to it. So he tiptoe around them spiritually and give them evil thoughts. Now he can use their pride, just like he was doing with them. He played them with pride. Now once he puts something in motion with a person, it don't die. It continues to stay in motion until more light comes and exposes it for the lie that it is. Now any Christian can do this. So he's motivated to stop the knowledge of God. So, and then there are people that just don't want God in their thinking. Their heart is so callous, they don't want to believe in God. They want to do what they want to do, and they want to be God themselves. So, a scientist named Charles Darwin, he had a stupid theory of evolution, you know, that Satan inspired. I heard he came to the Lord before he died, hopefully so, but all his life's work was evil. And the Lord, he loves us so much, he'll save us. Now, he may have been deceived, or if he got saved, he was deceived. And his deception was comprised of what he heard through his lifetime and how he was tempted by the devil. And then, see, if you're greedy, if you lust after things, or if you lust after the flesh, that will separate you with God and harden your heart against life itself. And once you get in pride, you can start a chain reaction just like he did. Now, everybody in the world that really didn't want God in their thinking, they sided with him. And it came over to this country as an attack. And there were people who sided with it. Once the war was over and people started to prosper and they could eat and they could buy houses and they had two cars, the husband and the wife, and they had modern day conveniences, they kind of forgot about God and wanted to do what they wanted to do. So Darwin's system sounded good to them because they lost the battlefront. They didn't stick to life. Now it takes time for you to hate life. It happens. Because if you start loving the world, you're going to start having a problem with God. You're going to have a problem with Jesus. You're going to have a problem with the Word of God. And also the love of God. And it trickles all the way down to life. The result of obeying God. A strong family. Now people will have a partial desire for the things of life. But as their heart gets harder, they degrade. And even the TV shows, they used to have family-oriented TV shows, and then it got people into a compromise funk. And then they started branching out. They didn't want the main characters, the men, to have a wife. They wanted them to have love interest. You know, he had a wife that loved him, and then there was a love interest over there. So the Hollywood people, the writers, they wrote the wife out. And then they had girlfriends instead. And they let different women come on the show. And they'll be beautiful with their soft voice. And that's in the back of men's mind, they you know, they like women that's younger and still pretty and naive. And that's the way to go. Don't stick to the life. See, the enemy was attacking the family through witchcraft. Now, anytime people get in rebellion, that's just a form of witchcraft. It's evil. It's just like it. I mean, it does the same thing. Even though they're not calling demons for help, they're getting into the world system. And it gets into a rebellion against life. And so the battlefronts, you win it at the source, and you win it and you win it forever. Now, if you love God, you're not going to get caught up in the world system. You're going to drive it out of your life. Now, the enemy, through people that didn't win their battlefronts, they started doctrines like Darwin, and then they started disconnecting from God. The scientists tried to prove that there was no God, and their world attract people that think the same way. So many scientists, which are not scientists, they studied the things God made to try to prove he don't exist. That's the most stupid thing you could do. Everything God made suggests that he made it. It has his signature on it. Everything grows from seed form, even the universe. That's one thing that the scientists figured out, right? It all started from one point. Not a big bang, because that's stupid. In elementary school, I knew that's the stupidest thing I ever... You can't get life out of an explosion. And they dress it up, and they have their theories, and it's so stupid. I looked at the teachers, why are you teaching this? But I didn't say nothing. I just started daydreaming. I said, this is ridiculous. And I'm a child. Now, my spirit was lit, but it's still ridiculous. When you love God, you can see through things. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Stranger, they won't follow. So the enemy has infiltrated the church the same way he infiltrated the science community and the atheist community. With the church, they look at the people, and they won't stay, they won't go in the Lord's presence and learn how to operate like Jesus. So since the pastors couldn't heal the sick and raise the dead and walk on water, they just said it all went out with the apostles. That way they didn't have to, when people looked for them to get lay hands and heal, they didn't have to worry about it. They had an excuse. They started preaching excuses. And this worked to Satan's benefit, not God's. So that was a front that they lost, because if they had been focused on the Lord, they would have learned how to do the same thing Jesus did and greater works. But because they didn't stick with faith in God, they didn't believe, they didn't do greater works. Now, Peter did, so it's possible. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me. He, not people, not many, he that believeth. And Peter did greater works than Jesus when you study Acts. And so did others. So did Paul. Jesus never walked, and Ray pointed this out. I love Sunday school. When you have good teachers, it's just wonderful. Ray pointed out that Jesus never walked the crowd, and then people got healed by his shadow. But Peter did. Now, the only reason modern day preachers have failed is because they lack knowledge. And they lack knowledge because they didn't stick with the love of God and focus on the Lord. They focused on other things. The lust of things entering in choked the word. They became unfruitful. So they became one of Satan's battlefronts. See, if you lose the battlefront, you become the battlefront against God. If you let Satan somewhere in your heart and in your thinking process and in your habit system, you can begin to do his work. And you become a battlefront. So there were theologians that taught wrong. And you can trace all the evil problems that they caused back to them. Just like Jeroboam. He started a process, and the fall of Israel and Judah and the captivity, you can trace it all back to him. Once you put a process in motion, it stays in motion. You die, but the demons that started the process in you, you went with Satan's works, and your life work will continue because you taught people wrong and they believed you. Until there's enough light to expose it. See, when Jesus come back, they're going to cast their idols to the bats. Everybody that believed the lie all along, all these years, they're going to cast their idols to the bats. They're going to cast the Quran to the bat, the teachings of Buddha, and all the others. Every doctrine of man is going to be put aside. And they're going to run in the mountain and want the mountain to crush them, trying to hide from Jesus. They don't want to see. When he come back in his glory, they're going to be so afraid. But it'll be too late. But their lies survive while there's no light. So if people start walking, you have to win the three stage world system, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. If you win there, you can put a stop to Satan's work. You can expose it for what it is. And that's how you win against Satan. You take authority over him and you expose him for the liar that he is. He has a religious system. He has a scientific system. He has a world system. He has the party goers. He has cartoons. Everything that denies God. TV shows. These are battlefronts because people lost their battles. And they went on doing things. Sometimes people just didn't get saved. And they didn't know about the warfare. And Satan played them easy. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And we'll address this as the Lord guides. To next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.